was I'm out of trouble, always find me. Don't make me heavy in the trauma center with your mama crying, cause the only son is dying. She don't know what she's yeah. Call me, get your mind.
I got COs bringing me filets mignon. But now a nigga home looking frail in the drop with a bitch shotgun that's his hell in the top. I got rocks on my neck the size of bottom tops and got glocks in a luxury ride behind cops. Broke days, we used to put water in our cereal. Now we cross the borders just to shoot another video. It's Tony Montana on full body armor. Son of niggas like Alfredo in the Godfather. Two shot revolver, that diligent shit. In the AR-15, pinning your six. You taking trips to Morocco, just to tan. You smoke weed in restaurants in Amsterdam. I was worth 100 grams, now I'm worth a cool million. I put money on your hairline, your dime, and your jewelry.
Yeah, my mama said I'm gripping my Beretta, sipping on my Loretta. Man, you crazy if you think I'ma let up. I told you I'm a mama said I'll be the first to say that, homie, you can bet it. Just don't get in the way of my cheddar, man, cause I'm a mama said I don't go looking for no trouble, but I'm out of trouble.
Unit, fuck affiliation, we are one. It is senseless for you to prevent this. The 40 cal put you up under some photosynthesis. At any given instant, another incident. You just got a glimpse of Obi and Ye's temperament, and we.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM. Licensed by the Canadian Radio Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Ain't nothing popping a tag, we keep it mad cause they mad. Too good ain't going on, we the best. I'm winning, they ain't glad. Born ready, shot for shot, sad for sad. Too good ain't going on, we the best.
B5.
Ain't nothing popping a tag, we keep the mask.
Bring it back.
Ain't nothing popping a tag, we keep the mask cause they mad. Too good ain't going on, we the best. I'm winning, they ain't glad. Born ready, shot for shot, sad for sad. Too good ain't going on, we the best. Bad enough, we got the coppers on our tail. Niggas eating at an all time high, the love sale. Made man more than only, better you know me, Two bitches by me while the time fly by. Two niggas love the media, they got their mind, not I. I'm high, just happy to be alive, high five. About 50 grand on my hand and the lamb pop eyes. Animal engine revving, knocking bread at your felon. I'm excelling, I can show them better than I can tell them. Double Ellen, OG is loud, that's why you smell them. Inhaling and exhaling to the swelling of these niggas telling. Champagne in the speeding lane, I got the strongest dope out. All I need is the vein, niggas come in the game fresh. Me with a chain, we raping shit, gang bang. I'm leading the train. A lot of niggas mad at me. Insecurity, actually, emotion raging rapidly. Told your majesty, music address me. Got strippers shaking the ass for free. Shit slow, we have to be. As I paint my masterpiece, ain't nothing popping a tag. We keep the mask cause they mad.
I'm good and going, I'm way the best. I'm winning, they ain't glad. Born ready, shot for shot, stab for stab. Cause good and going, I'm way the best. Bad enough, we got the coppers on our tail. Niggas hating at an all-time high, the love still. Made man, one and only, better you know me. More niggas getting fresh with the mouth, but I'm the cleanest. No doubt, the bodyguard is me, Jesus. Twin Ninas for my demons, you can go to hell. I got a deadly Benz and be my eyes and show and tell. Nine piece, go Chanel. Hit Amsterdam to get my high tweet. Throw the cell, guap, do you know the smell? Money change verdict, won't matter who's murdered. I'm the new breed, them fools had it and burnt it. Perfect, unfair that I'm walking the earth with a swagger that's retarded and guarded in every verse. That big pound of perp shit, yo, come on and turf with disrespectful luck to get your necklace tucked. Ain't nothing popping a tag, we keep it mad. Cause they mad. You good and going, I'm way the best. I'm winning, they ain't glad. Born ready, shot for shot, stab for stab. Cause good and going, I'm way the best. Bad enough, we got the coppers on our tail. Niggas heating at an all time high, the love still. Made man, more than only, better you know me.
Can't forget Frenchie, Broway, Boom.
CKLN listeners, you are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1, CKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. It is the 28th day of July 2010. This is your host BK, aka Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN's Rude Awakening from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, it's Word of Mouth Mondays, every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m., where I interview an expert in a given field. And just this past Monday, I interviewed Professor Timothy Ball from friendsofscience.org and canadafreepress.com, where he writes a lot of articles. And Professor Ball is a veteran climate scientist. He's been studying the climate for 30 years. He's one of Canada's first climate scientists. And yet, as his wife said, to me as well, because she helps arrange interviews over email for her husband. She said they've been fighting this for 30 years. 30 years they've been fighting bad science when it comes to global warming, climate change, things like the Rio Accords, the Kyoto Protocols, and all sorts of nonsense and fear-mongering. And as I said to Mrs. Ball, because her husband's got a pair, I said, any man that can fight for 30 years, risk his career for 30 years taking on bad science because he's got integrity, any man that can do that can teach us guys how to be men. Because some dudes can't fight for 30 minutes. And some dudes can't fight for 30 seconds. And some dudes just can't fight. And when you get a guy like this who says, nope, I have integrity, I got the knowledge, and I can call that BS, it's worth respecting. So to find the interview with Professor Timothy Ball, you can check radioforall.net, archive.org, or you can check my blog at blackkrishna.blogspot.com. A couple other programming notes today. We have Sonia, Truth Sonia, and the truth is on you. But Truth Sonia, Sonia from the Truther Girls at youtube.com/truthergirls, at truthergirls.com, and at Truther Girls on WordPress. Is hopefully going to be joining me around 6:30 this morning from Montreal. And if she wasn't so darn lovely and fair, I'd swear this chick had a pair. Because it's True Sonia versus Big Everything. She goes at everybody. She talking about how canola can kill you, as she kicks the GMO food industry in the canolas, and Health Canada for allowing this stuff to be approved and eaten by us. And you might think canola oil is good for you, but again, go to youtube.com/thetruthergirls to check Sonia's breakdown of that. She'll be joining us in about 15-20 minutes. And so that's for today's show. And I was privileged to be on her and her colleague Karen's show, Truther Girls Radio, on American Freedom Radio from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. approximately on Monday evenings before I interviewed Professor Timothy Ball. And so I was being interviewed. And so, you know, I got a chance to answer some questions. And the interview is entitled, How to Tell the Truth in the 21st Century. Because, you know, even though I do have some troubles doing so once in a while, I still managed to get in there. And I still managed to break it down in a successful way that gets reasonably respected. And I don't say that to brag. I don't have my own radio show to brag. I have my own radio show to try and tell the truth. And the truth is not just the bad things that are happening to us and the bad things that are going on in the world. It is the good things that we can do about it. It is what we are capable of thanks to being enabled by technology, by the ease of communication, by a polite, relatively nonviolent and tolerant society, and by what we ourselves are capable of doing here. You know, how can we get our weight up when it comes to these issues? I start off the show today with Lloyd Banks' Better You Know Me, one of my favorite songs and a song I listened to for, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes on the walk up here from Dufferin and Dundas. And I got to tell you, it gets me going. But it doesn't get me going to escape from what I'm doing. It gets me going to help me do what I'm doing. And that's a big trick that our media and our entertainment and our socialization plays on us. They try and encourage us to escape. They try and encourage us to, like, all right, you know what, you feel bad, so escape for a bit and feel good. As opposed to, how can you be doing something, you know, that nobody can take from you? How can you be doing something that nobody can take from you? You know, nobody can say you're not doing something, you know, and then how can you do that better with the aid of music? And so so the song by Lloyd Banks, Better You Know Me, from the V5 album. I don't even listen to the rest of that album. It's a whole damn album, like 13, 14 mixtape tracks. Pretty good, but I don't need to. I found this song. It keeps me in a good headspace. And another programming note, tomorrow, Kevin P. Miller, director of Generation RX, about the drugging of our children and about the control over medicine and psychiatry by Big Pharmacide, is going to take on Big Pharmacide. It's Kevin P. Miller versus Big Pharmacide live tomorrow on Thursday morning's Rude Awakening from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And so why do I bring him up in relation to music? Well, at the bottom of his website, his webpage, he says right there, four songs that he likes to listen to while writing. And he lists them. And so you can tell that other people who've accomplished things have used, you know, things like music and other inspirational tools that have an effect on our emotions to get their weight up. And when I was a skinny 13, 14-year-old brown kid, you know, walking back from playing video games in deepest, you know, downtown, back to deepest, darkest Scarlem, defeat is not my destiny, release into the streets and keep whatever's left of me. When I was in Scarborough and I was a little skinny, like, you know, little runty 13, 14-year-old brown kid with glasses walking home, you know, in Scarborough. And I didn't live in a bad neighborhood, but I passed through a few of them to get to mine. And what was in style back then was rolling, being rolled. Where basically you'd have one guy maybe try and talk to you, and then eight guys in the back jump you, throw you to the ground, and take your stuff. And so to keep that from happening, I'd play some hip hop music. I'd play house music, House of Pain's "Who's the Man with a Master Plan?" Who's the man? Who's the man? You know, throw away floating in the black Benz, try to do a show a day. They wonder how I live with five shots. Niggas, it's hard to kill on my block. And you hear this stuff often enough, and it puts your game face on, and you just, you know, you look like you'll be more trouble to mess with than it might be worth. So, ladies out there, same thing. You know, if you're walking around at night and you want to make it a little more difficult for someone to bother you, get your game face on. I know myself that when I've been dressed however, and I've had the right attitude about the world, then I've been invincible. And I know what I've dressed thugged out. And I was tripping over something, because whatever, something happened recently that I was tripping over. But I was all thugged out. I'd catch guys eyeing me up like I was soft. And I was like, what? What? The uniform ain't working. It ain't the uniform, folks. It's who's wearing it. And you can help get your weight up. But there's an 87-year-old woman named Charlotte Gerson who's on Natural News interview show with Mike Adams at naturalnews.com, the best health website out there. And this 87-year-old woman is scrapping like you would not believe. So I'm going to let her and Mike Adams talk to you about scrapping the corrupt medical industry and what we can do to protect ourselves from them.
That's the major problem. Why can we not help people in the U.S.? Because it's illegal for doctors to function here and heal. You're not allowed to heal.
But it's amazing that most people who are not familiar with the reality of what's going on in orthodox medicine today, most people believe that they live in a free society. They think America's free, and they think that, you know, the FDA and the AMA and the drug companies are really all
that they're helping them
out for their
and
best
helping
interests.
And protecting
yes.
them. Nothing could be further from the truth. And several people who have withdrawn from the FDA have come out with exactly that statement. The public believes that the FDA and the groups, they're protecting them, and they are saying nothing could be further from the truth. It's not so. They're not. They're protecting the industry, the pharmaceutical industry, because the very same people who are working at the FDA come from the pharmaceutical industry. They know drugs, and after a stint there at the FDA, they go back to the pharmaceutical industry where they came from and where they're
sure.
handsomely paid, and they are going to not damage those their employers.
The old revolving door policy at work. But it's fascinating that I know a lot of people in the medical industry, you know, being a health journalist, and I know I've talked to many, many people in public speeches, as you have. Many intelligent people will choose chemotherapy out of fear, but there's only one group that won't choose it. And those are the oncologists.
That's true. There's a large group of oncologists who say if they had cancer, they would not take chemotherapy. They know why not.
Yeah.
They promote and that's all there is, and everything else is quackery, and everything else is a ripoff. That's what we are doing. It's quackery, and it's expensive. Of course, it's not expensive. It's cheap. It's food.
Yeah, it's very cheap compared to chemotherapy. And yeah, and what about the quality of life? They don't even
talk
about the quality of life. I actually had a family member die of cancer within 2 years or so, and you talk about taking money from dying patients. The drug industry said they could give him an experimental shot, one shot a week, and it might reverse his lung cancer, and the shot was going to cost, and it wasn't covered by insurance, the shot would be $14,000 per shot. That's what the drug companies wanted him to pay out of his own pocket.
Right. Okay, and by the way, the experimental chemo drugs are the most dangerous, and I try as much as possible to warn people. If they're told there is a new experimental drug on the market, and it is, and the doctors call it is promising. So promising, they don't promise anything, but the drug they claim is promising. And then they give these experimental drugs, they're extremely expensive, and all they're really doing is they're selecting dying patients. Well, they're dying anyway, so we might as well use them as guinea pigs, is what they feel. And they use them as guinea pigs to see how many shots and how much of this drug, that new experimental drug, they can use before the patient is dead. Anybody ever use these experimental drugs or be a guinea pig for the experimental drugs. They're not promising except promising death. They're terrible.
Now, I see that women are especially heavily targeted by the cancer industry. There's a lot of fear put out there to try to persuade women that they need these annual mammograms.
As our current president has discovered, fear is a powerful weapon. And you can instill enough fear and make people do what you're scaring them off.
Yes. And yet, you know, I see these people buying the pink ribbon products and running for, you know, to find the cure, whatever that means. But nobody knows where the money goes.
It goes in the pockets of the researchers in the pharmaceutical industry that are already the richest industry in the world.
Right. It's an incredible con. If you look at the history of medicine and the history of human civilization, this is a remarkable fraud. I mean, it's absolutely huge.
Yes. And you know, what's also interesting, I think last week when you were interviewing Howard Strauss, my son, and he was talking about, you know, what was happening, and among other things about Dr. Gerson's hearing before a Senate committee way back in 1954. Anyway, at that time, the first time ever, a doctor demonstrated patients that had been sent home to die who recovered on this simple nutritional therapy, okay? And in other words, they can't say they don't know it. They do know it. It was published, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is this. Since 54, in those days, like I said, in 1972, 220,000 people died of cancer. But now, so, well, over 560,000. In other words, actually, during those years, between 54 and now, which is roughly 54 years, the American pharmaceutical industry has killed more people than Hitler and Stalin together.
Hmm. That's right. That's right. It is the single most dangerous industry to the health and safety of not just the American
the
people,
world,
but
right.
people in,
yes.
across the world. And I read recently in the Wall Street Journal that Big Pharma is now beginning to target third world countries where incomes are coming
mm-hmm.
up, you
mm-hmm.
know, Brazil
mm-hmm.
and India, well, it's not a third
yeah.
world country, but developing countries, because they know they can sell
yes.
more drugs to gullible yes. consumers in those
yes,
countries.
Yes, and they can sell more damaged and junk food, and therefore they're more sick, and that's the way they can sell more drugs, sure.
Yeah. Now, let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about things other than cancer, but let me just remind those listening to check out your website, www.gerson.org. That's G-E-R-S-O-N. And also check out thebeautifultruthmovie.com to see the movie that documents this. It's a fascinating film. I've watched it. I love it. The narration, the journey of the young boy who discovers this truth, writing a report for school. I mean, it's an amazing film. But let's talk about what else Gerson therapy is useful for, because it's a lot more
yes,
than just
absolutely.
Cancer.
Absolutely. Well, like I mentioned earlier, when Dr. Gerson was starting to heal lung tuberculosis, he found that other forms of disease, allergies and asthma and high blood pressure and kidney disease also disappeared. And he further elaborated on that, and he used the therapy then way before he was able to heal cancer. He used it also in arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, the so-called collagen diseases, the so-called autoimmune diseases. He used it in everything from Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, to heart disease and arthritic disease, and you know, how about Lyme disease? We have recoveries from Lyme disease, and their recovery, you know,
wow.
It is so simple. It is so easy because essentially the Gerson therapy is not a treatment for a disease. The Gerson therapy is designed to restore the body's own defenses against all disease. And that's the beauty of the treatment. And even though it might be known as a cancer treatment, but we have a lot of patients who don't just have cancer. They have heart disease to go with it, as well as some have diabetes and some have arthritis and some have all kinds of other problems along with their cancer. And all of it goes away. And that's the important thing to keep in mind. When you truly heal the body, everything heals. You cannot heal selectively. And that's what orthodox medicine does. They try to suppress symptoms selectively by causing new diseases
right.
and causing new troubles and new pains and having to use more drugs and so on. This is ridiculous. They're doing the opposite. On the contrary, when you truly heal, when you restore the body's ability to defend itself, when you restore the immune system, the enzyme system, the hormone system, the mineral balances, the essential organs, everything that's involved in human life, when everything is restored, all diseases disappear.
Well, this makes perfect sense to you and me and probably most of those listening, but to orthodox medicine, this is a mysterious, even suspicious explanation, because they're stuck in the one drug for one disease
yes.
mindset. And how could one thing possibly assist with a dozen different diseases?
Yeah,
but you already explained
it. It's easy enough to understand, and generally the public does understanding. It's not rocket science. It's quite basic and understandable.
Right.
And you know the fathers of medicine way back when you go to Hippocrates and something earlier, that's what they did. They used nutrition. Yeah. They used herbal medicine. What is medicine? They were herbal things that grow out in nature to help us to control problems and infections and things like that, and to keep the body functioning so that the body can deal with it. No problem. So how come we can cure Lyme disease? We have cases.
And how it's almost hard to believe that we are talking about the state of the world as it is today, because how can this beautiful truth, as you put it, escape the doctors and the physicians and all of these people who are intellectually very capable?
Well, in many cases it doesn't escape them. In many cases it's simply that they can't earn money with it. And another thing is, of course, that in medical school it's pumped into their heads that the only thing they can believe is anything they read in their medical journals. In the meantime, several people, authors, editors of the medical journals have admitted that 90% of the stuff that shows up in medical journals is not true and is useless information.
Right.
But the doctors believe, and the only thing that they can go by is things that are published in medical journals. And then, you know, you have the system of controls, which is actually, coding everything, that Dr. Gerson already, way back, 50 and some years ago, he was not able to publish anything because it was simply barred from publication. He was not able to help doctors and others understand in medical journals how he was healing. And when they blocked it, then the management came out and said, well, Dr. Gerson refuses to publish. I still have the rejection letters what he tried to publish.
Well, they never tell the truth when they're criticizing Gerson.
They know how to lie and how to, tell the public what they want the public to know, not the truth.
Yeah, I remember listening to a conversation by, the so-called skeptics or the quack watch people who would say, oh, the Gerson therapy is useless. And then someone asks them, well, have you looked at the patient data? And they say, no, it's not worth looking at.
So how do you know? Exactly.
CKLM listeners, again, that was Ms. Charlotte Gerson on with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can see more of their great work at gerson.org, that's gerson.org, and naturalnews.com. Phenomenal stuff. And I got to tell you, this is a big thing about cancer and cancer in this city. There's a bunch of crazy things going on in this city here in Toronto, the land where the fences are too high and the choppers are too low. I don't know if you noticed this, but over on Bloor Street, in the heart of the Fashion District, I guess, the rich Fashion District, just west of Yonge, there's major construction going on, and there's like 6 foot, 6 foot 2 inch fences there to keep us from wandering into traffic and hopping them. While construction is going on, we don't need fences that high. We don't need to be fencing. We need the damn fence at the G20 summit, for that matter. Just because, the cops with their big guns and the military and all the military choppers there, they could have just shot any vehicles that were driving towards the stupid summit. They need to build half a damn concentration camp in the middle of the heart of the city. And so there's fences there. There's big 6 foot plus fences on Dundas. I pass all the time coming to the show near Dundas and Spadina, where there's some more construction going on. And there's a little tube there, I guess, they don't want to step in on. And this is absolutely ridiculous. And the helicopters, I've been tracking them for about 3 years. There's some videos on my YouTube channel of low-flying choppers preparing us for martial law. And it seemed crazy back then, but I kind of I looked into the crazy stuff and realized that you can't just say, oh, they wouldn't do that. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Not after what they've done. I'll tell you the watershed moment for me personally, when that just stopped working for me or on me and it stopped being something that I would use, was when I realized that the U.S. government was publicly torturing people off a military base, on a military base off the coast of Cuba. So once I realized U.S. military was publicly torturing hundreds of people without trial, not even finding out if they were guilty first, but torturing them on a military base off the coast of Cuba, that's when I started saying, no, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to believe everything I hear about the government, but I'm certainly not going to discount it without looking into it. And so that's where we are.
Always do your best. Don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming of riches in a position of making a difference. Politicians are hypocrites. They don't want to listen. If I'm insane, the fame made a proper change. It wasn't nothing like the game. It's just me against the world.
And so we got fences too high, we got choppers too low, and we got tons and tons of cancer promo everywhere. And most of these people who are running for cancer, biking for cancer, jogging for cancer, don't actually know where the money's going and don't actually care, which is the bigger problem. And so that's why we got to get the word out there. If you are a human being who is capable of communicating in English or French, the two official languages of this country, then it's probably worth your while to, to step up at this time and do so. Just because people are ready. They are ready and willing to hear the information. But we do have a call coming in, so I'm going to take this call. Hopefully it's from Ms. Truth Sonia.
Machiavellianist, Illuminati, all through your body. The blow's like a 12-gauge shot.
Feel me? And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy that's been getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and load it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See a nigga that's coming for me, my diamonds when they glisten. Now pay attention, best in peace, father. I'm a ghost in the killing fields. Hell, baby, catch me if I go. Let's go deep inside the solitary mind of a madman. Screams in the dark, evil lurks, enemies, see me flee. Activate my hate, let it break to the flame. Set shit, empty out my clip. Never stop to aim. Some say the game is all corrupted. Fuck this shit. Stuck, niggas are dusty if we bust out this shit. And flutter. Mama told me never stop until I bust a nut. Fuck the world and they can't adjust. It's just as well. Hail Mary. Come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick. See what do we have here now? You wanna ride or die? Back with promise makers, never realized the precious time that bitch niggas is wasting. Institutionalized, I live my life a product, made me crumble. But too hard and for a smile, way too crazy to be humble. We ballin', catch me, father, please, cause I'm fallin'. In the liquor store, that's the Hennessy out here callin'. Can I get some more? Hell, till I reach hell, I ain't scared. Mama checking in my bedroom, I ain't there. I got a head with
and we're back, BKLN listeners. That was not the truth of girl, Truth Sonia. I did tell her that if she wasn't up for it this morning, she could sleep in, so she may not be joining us, which is a shame, but hopefully we'll have her on sometime next week. And again, tomorrow, Kevin P. Miller versus Big Pharmacide, here live on the air to talk more about this. And on the cancer tip, there's a number of things out there that you can look into, so I do recommend you folks keep a pen and paper handy for these shows, because one of them is gerson.org, G-E-R-S-O-N. Where Ms. Charlotte Gerson, based on the work of her father, Dr. Max Gerson, going back to the 1930s, will tell you the foods to eat to fight cancer, because that's what happened back in the day. Dr. Gerson had some issues and figured out a natural cure for his own issues, tested this on others, and since then the process has been repeated for the last 80 years. And it's been suppressed by the corporate media and of course by our education system and by the medical industry and by the groups at the top, basically, that want to dehumanize all the people below them to make them easier to control. And so on cancer, check out Gerson.org. Check out the movie A World Without Cancer, the story of vitamin B17 by G. Edward Griffin, noted anti-New World Order scholar and researcher who's been on this issue of the forces behind globalization, the bloodline families and their central banking system printing fiat money from nothing, which they then loan to governments worldwide who pay it back to them by taxing the people in those countries. And by doing so, they increase their control over those countries. And even when we say, you know, when Prime Minister Harper, or before him Martin, or before him Chrétien, would say proudly, Canada is pledged to paying $50 billion off towards our national debt, all we're doing is borrowing the $50 billion from the same foreign bankers to pay them off. It's like you owe your bookie or your loan shark $1,000. You say, hey, can I borrow $500 of this to pay you back? And he goes, sure, now you owe me $1,500, but we're square for a bit. Until I hit you up for that. And by the way, since you owe me even more money, I want you to clean my garage. And that's how the central bank, the bell, works. So G. Edward Griffin exposed that in a great book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. Also made a movie called A World Without Cancer, the story of vitamin B17, where he talked about what B17 is and how there's a form of it you can synthesize called Laetril. It basically comes from seeds, the seeds of fruits, and he explained how deers and bears and so on, when they go to a zoo and they're fed, you know, fruits without seeds, sometimes they die. They get cancer and they die. And cancer is just your body's, you know, immune system deteriorating. It's not a disease. Something that's genetic, you know, because there are people that have a genetic predisposition towards it, like Charlotte Gerson, for example, who's 87 and has absolutely no sign of cancer. Because you can fight all of these things by keeping your stress levels down and by eating the right foods. And the nuts in those fruits, when there's a reason the bears and the deers and the animals in the forest eat them, because they do contain vitamin B17. So there's another option. Another option is phoenixtears.ca. Phoenix, phoenix, tears.ca, and that's the Rick Simpson story, also a movie called Run from the Cure, the Rick Simpson story, where Rick Simpson, proud Nova Scotian, talks about distilling hemp into some sort of edible paste, and curing not only himself, but 40 people who signed sworn affidavits in Nova Scotia, and others who wouldn't. And this is reported by the mainstream news. I've played clips of their work on this show. And that's the thing, folks, out there, when it comes to this information, you know, people, you know, will often say, and again, this is, at this point, this is propaganda, because it's self-destructive, you know, stuff we repeat. And people will often say, oh, the mass media is so bad, or, oh, the government's so bad, or, politicians are so evil. And we kind of settle with those conclusions. Like, we can really just live in a world where that's taking place. And the truth is, it's not quite that black and white. There are many politicians doing, you know, good work in there, the best work they can based on what they're able to get away with. And it's the same thing with journalists. And I know this for a fact from just looking at Infowars.com. Because 90% of their, you know, crazy conspiracy theorist content is rare mainstream news. And I'll give you an example. I'm on Infowars.com right here, and there's an article by Chuck Baldwin, founder of the Constitution Party, and he's referencing the Monday, July 19th, 2010 edition of the Washington Post. And it's an investigative report called Top Secret America with a Subtle, a Hidden World Growing Beyond Control, talking about how the top secret world the government created in response to the terrorist attacks September 11, 2001 has become so large, so unwieldy and so secretive that no one knows how much money it costs, how many people it employs, how many programs exist within it, or exactly how many agencies doing the do the same work. These are the findings of a two-year investigation by the Washington Post that discovers what amounts to an alternative geography of the United States, a top-secret America hidden from public view and lacking in thorough oversight. After 9 years of unprecedented spending and growth, the result is that the system put in place to keep the U.S. safe is so massive that its effectiveness is impossible to determine. And these are all quotes from the Washington Post. So again, this is good work by them. Mr. Baldwin goes into a bit more of what they don't say when it comes to this sort of thing, because the media often does that. They'll give you big clues as to what to look into, and then you got to go to the alternative media to see people who find, you know, what the mainstream media has found, and then who flesh it out from their experience or conspiracy perspective. But back to this article from Chuck Baldwin referencing the Washington Post, the second most influential paper in America after the New York Times, most would argue. Some 1,271 government organizations and 1,931 private companies work on programs related to counterterrorism, homeland security, and intelligence in about 10,000 locations across the United States. And you wonder why they can't win the war on terror. How come the wars keep getting worse? How come Al-Qaeda is still, you know, a bigger threat than ever? Like, what the, you know, they, anyway, back to this article on this article. An estimated 854,000 people, nearly 1.5 times as many as live in Washington, D.C., hold top secret security clearances. It's almost 1 million people, folks. And believe me, they're not all number crunching for Al-Qaeda. This is the exact same system that was used in East Germany, communist East Germany, in the Soviet Union, communist Soviet Union. And thanks to the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the sequel to NAFTA at spp.gov, you can go see the official word on that. Thanks to that trade deal signed in 2005 to be completed this year in 2010, Canada, America, and Mexico are being merged into a North American Union bureaucratically, politically, and from a policy perspective behind the scenes, which means not only were those communist countries like communist Germany and communist Russia and communist China, involved in the task of creating domestic Gestapo spy forces. Not only were they involved in doing that, but as a matter of fact, it could be happening here in communist Canada as part of our merger with America and a currently collapsing Mexico as a result of their crazy corruption, drug war, and major gang problems. And this is nothing against the people that live in any of our countries. It just simply illustrates the fact that, you know, here in our beautiful, shiny little snow globe, when we're shaken up, not only will the snow fall, but, you know, the sky may fall. And this Chicken Little ain't chicken spit about it. He's got to say it on the radio, because if he doesn't, and if he doesn't say it when he can, where he can, because he's a guy who can take some sort of responsibility for taking a look at a world where he has more power and more influence, a louder voice, and a bigger presence. If I don't speak up, then, you know. That's why this information crosses boundaries. It crosses ethnic boundaries, culture boundaries, gender boundaries. I mean, this is, you know, I don't know how many other people are going to be reporting on this, but this is massive. All right, back to this article for a sec. In Washington and the surrounding area, 33 building complexes for top secret intelligence work are under construction or have been since September 2001. Together, they occupy the equivalent of almost 3 pentagons, or 22 U.S. Capitol buildings, about 17 million square feet of space. Many security intelligence agencies do the same work, creating redundancy and waste. For example, 51 federal organizations and military commands operating in 15 U.S. cities track the flow of money to and from terrorist networks. There's 51 federal organizations tracking the flow of money and they can't stop it? Hey. Analysts who make sense of documents and conversations obtained by foreign and domestic spying share their judgment by publishing 50,000 intelligence reports a year, a volume so large that many are routinely ignored. And again, Peter Wright, the author of Spycatcher, was a former MI5 agent, talked about how when he worked for MI5 or British intelligence, and they were chasing commie spies, they always managed to be just a step behind them, even though they'd mapped out the plan to capture them perfectly. And that's because Mr. Peter Wright, as he later revealed in his book Spycatcher, which was banned in England and published in Australia and elsewhere in the world, as he revealed in his book, his bosses at MI5, once he briefed them on the plans of him and his teammates in British intelligence, would simply call his counterpart at East German intelligence or Soviet intelligence in Communist Russia intelligence during the Cold War to tell them what those plans were to get his valuable agent out of there. And so when the British agents would show up, they'd be like, ah, damn it, we must have a leak inside. And everybody would get more paranoid and crazy, and they'd have to work even harder to do paranoid and crazy things. And that's how they kept the Cold War fight going. And the government brings in the drugs. And that was in, Operation Air America out of Vietnam in the 1970s. It was exposed in the Iran-Contra scandal with Oliver North under the Reagan administration in the 1980s, where the CIA was bringing drugs in to fund the Contras, the rebel army in Nicaragua, and flooded Los Angeles with cocaine. And tons of people in L.A. were out there in the streets protesting, with signs and pickets, and former LAPD cop, what's his name? I forget his name. Former LAPD cop who was also a truther came out and said, yeah, he witnessed a lot of narcotics trafficking by officials involved in law enforcement. And so they play both sides as part of this game, and it really is a video game. It's straight out of a video game, and the war on terror is no different. And that's why we have to expose the fact that 9/11 was an inside job, because it is the basis for this reorganization of our society. There's two bases for this, as Webster Griffin Tarpley from Tarpley.net, TARPLEY.NET would say, there are two main reorganizing principles the oligarchs in charge of the world think they need right now. One is the war on terror to create the surveillance society, the massive panopticon control grid. And panopticon is a French word. It meant a French prison where there was a guard in the tower, in a tower at the very center of it, and then there is basically an open concept prison with a bunch of cages in a circle around that tower. And so the prisoners were aware at all times that they could be seen, and they were aware at all times that they were being watched, and it affected their behavior. And I got to tell you, on a subtle level, it's affecting ours. Even though people say, oh, I don't care, blah, 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 it's on the back of our minds. And we're thinking about it when we talk on our cell phones, we send emails, when we use Facebook. We're not necessarily thinking about how these people are using that information to learn more about us, to program and brainwash us better, which involves, dumbing down and dehumanizing us, and getting us to dumb down and dehumanize each other, so they can impoverish, rob, and murder us, because they're a bunch of eugenics who built robots and don't need most of us anymore, and don't respect most of us at all. So that's their plan.
If only you could see just how lonely and how cold and frostbit I've become. My back's against the wall when push comes to shove. I just stand up and scream, fuck them all.
And so what can we do about these things? Well, 9/11 was an inside job, and the best thing you can do right now is, try and beat the idea of spam. Try and beat the idea of spam, I literally reference it. Because there's almost, there's another dude I know, part of a, Cross Canada Truth or E-Blast thing, and he sent back a little huffy message, because some dude was pulling some ish with me, and so, I slapped him around, and then I tried to offer some valuable insights and left it at that. But dude was complaining that he was involved in this and got a little huffy. And I just told him, dude, it's just some random crap. It's nothing that men can't deal with. Like, sorry it happened. It shouldn't have happened. I'll admit that. And I fight like a boxer, so I tried to knock him out. And hopefully, it was over with, and it was. And so, you know, we get mad at really stupid things like that. And we are mad at ridiculous things when it comes to our socialization and what we've learned. And so, you know, we've gotta get past that. And one thing you can tell your friends, look, this is not spam in the sense of, you know, how you know spam. It's not spam. You know, this is information. Like, what if you're an Eminem fan and you really like his new album, and then I send you this song?
I think someone's tapping into my phone's wide open. I got this feeling in my bones I might die soon. The FBI might be trying to pull my file soon. I might be walking blindfold into a typhoon. I might be seeing rockets light up the night sky right outside of the window of my living room. And if they do, then you can say goodnight and bye-bye to them, my tune. If I don't try to record as much before I do, the plan is to have as many in the can as I can. As I stand before you in this booth, a walking dead man. Blank stare, deadpan, look on my face as I gaze in this face. As I wait to be scooped up in that van, mysteriously disappear into thin air. And they go say a sniper just appeared out of nowhere. And I go down in the history as the blood sucking leech who hid behind the freedom of speech. Tried to take the Fifth Amendment, use it, twisted and bend it, and ended up dying to filling out the hero's limits. Tremendous way to end it, so I could feel the tremors tremendous. In remembrance of September 11th, flashback to September 7th when Tupac was murdered in Vegas. He said it, he predicted his own death. Let us never forget it. Should we ever live to regret it? Like the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated in broad day by that greatest lunatic with a gun who just happened to work on the same block in a library book depository where the president would go for a little Friday stroll. Shots fired from the grassy knoll, but they don't know. But do they? Who they? For them to say, to say we're all vulnerable and it's 2K. This is about as 2K as I've ever felt now. Countdown to nuclear meltdown. 7654321. You can run, you can do what you want to, but you know you ain't gonna do nothing. When it's time, it's your time. You are the prime target. You have become public enemy number one.
When we got to run the A, when we got to run the A, when we drop to Atlanta, when we drop to Atlanta.
And we're back, folks, and that's what I mean. You know, you can just tell someone, look, this isn't spam. This isn't just some crap sent by somebody trying to, you know, make sure you have a longer erection or something. You know, this is a friend sending you something that you know, they thought you'd like. And if you don't like it, well, don't blame me for trying, because if you do, I'll stop. And that'll be worse. You know, if we decide simply, you know, to stop sending each other things that we think each other might like. And that's what's happened. Now look, we have the opportunity out there while we have the internet. Although there are many attempts to censor the internet, and I know personally, you know, my computer is just, the internet's just stopping working for seconds at a time once in a while. And I got a feeling that we're being targeted on occasion. You know, those of us who look into these things. I do have a call coming in, though, so I'm going to figure out what this call is. Give me one sec. And I gotta tell you, we got guns in the info war. You know, you can blow someone's mind, especially when we're getting depressed by our mainstream media. Anyway, you can blow someone's mind with this information. So, you know, just tell someone, look, I'm not trying to spam you. I'm a friend. I'm just passing this on. Check it out. If you want to talk to me about it, fine. If not, don't worry about it. You know, but you know, we got to do this at this time in history. You know, we can't just go along with, you know, what our socialization is getting us not to do, like not to get, you know, politically involved or active when things like this are happening. You know, the Washington Post article with, you know, hundreds of thousands of Gestapo spies in Canada, or in America rather, likely in Canada and in Mexico and worldwide as part of this global New World Order system of globalization. And yet even this article doesn't tell the whole truth. Just like, you know, none of them are really allowed to. They'll get you close. But, you know, they're not revealing, you know, the chilling side of things here. You know, as Joel Skousen writes, you know, and Chuck Baldwin quotes, what few do get a glimpse into are the government's dark side. When few get a glimpse of the government's dark side, they're warned off with threats. Some subtle and some lethal that send a chilling message to others not to ask too many questions. So there are people going through this out there to get us information that we can use. There are whistleblowers. There are whistleblowing climate scientists like Professor Tim Ball, who's fought against phony environmentalism that's meant to basically, you know, convince us all to use less, convince us all to worry about the weather instead of people, convince us all to feel worthless as part of a giant collective hub, and tax us and steal our property. And he's fought that for years. And so on. So, you know, we can break things like this down. And on today's Toronto Star, it says some customers get whopping gas bills this month. Miscalculation is costing some Enbridge clients up to $1,300 more. So even if you decide to ignore this stuff, you're still going to be paying more for gas. Enbridge has 800,000 households on its budget billing plans, and all of them are going to get stiffed by their new payment plan, which says, yeah, you know what, yeah, you know, we're going to charge you this much for now, but if we say you owe us more money later, we're going to come get that from you too. And yet, on the cover of today's 24, we've got four celebrities here. We've got the million-dollar baby herself, and Ben Affleck, and Ryan Philippe, I think, or one of those dudes, and Natalie Portman. On yesterday's beautiful blonde girl cheering for the Jays, and Angelina Jolie, beautiful brunette, cheering for a movie, I guess. And dry spell for young drivers, no alcohol under 21. These all sound like good ideas because they sell us some BS that convinces us so, but it's not actually the case in most cases if you look into it. So before I go, Shelley the Truther Girl couldn't make it today. Hopefully we'll have her on next week. Mr. Gary Topp is going to be filling in for Ron Gaskin next, so do stick around for some jazz. A couple of websites to shout out for you. Among them are Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, LocallyPressForTruth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, CanadaFreePress.com, StatismWatch.blogspot.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, and the Conspiracy Culture Book and DVD Store at Queen and Roncesvalles, and of course, the Toronto Street News, great homeless paper out there for your consumption. There's many things we can do today, folks, but, you know, we're kind of getting habitualized, you know, to walk around with our heads bowed, text messaging. You know, they've done studies where if you answer questions nodding and answer questions shaking your head, that'll influence how you feel. So basically, we're being influenced into feeling kind of less than we are by our very actions, by our socialization, by fighting for scraps of space in the sidewalk and almost bumping into girls and old people if you're a big guy. You know, we can do better than that, you know, and we can say hi to people if there's just a couple of us in the sidewalk walking towards each other, give each other a quick nod, remind each other we're human. The great big bug-eyed shades are making it tougher, but we can play through the pain. Anyway, it's been a great 28th of July 2010, folks. Hopefully you've enjoyed this show, and hopefully you'll enjoy a great day, and hopefully you'll help someone else enjoy life better by sharing a bit of info to protect your family, friends, city, and country, and help them do so too. I'm out of here.
Me, I'm no monster. Me, I'm no gangster.